wants to do in our lives. Not only in the good times, but what the Lord wants to do even in that time of being consumed by the work of the enemy. So here this day, we're going to shift our mentality, our thinking, and we're going to let our light shine. Amen. We're going to let our shine. Sometimes it's so much easier to turn off the lights than to turn on the lights. Even though in turning on the lights, there's so much more power and vision and visibility. Sometimes we just want to turn the lights off and be left alone. It's the easier thing to do. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, we're still on the same theme that the time is now. I believe there's some here this morning that can't wait for tomorrow. But that the time is now. And I add on to the title here this day, the time is now to absorb and reflect light. The time is now to absorb and reflect light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I've been using this verse since I started a series dealing with the light. And the Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Father, we come before you this day in anticipation that you have a word for us, Lord. That you have an insight that we need to what we may be going through. An insight, what we need maybe to give somebody else. And I pray, Lord, that we open our hearts and minds and ears this day to hear what the light of the world has to say to his sons and daughters. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I open up with a point here this morning. God does not look for those who have it all. God does not look to those who have it all, but God looks to those who are willing to surrender it all. God does not look for those who have it all, but God's looking for those who are willing to surrender it all. You may say this morning, "I ain't got much to offer." Jesus is saying, "Give it to me and see what I can do with it." We need to know here this morning if we're truly going to be the light of the world. If we're truly going to absorb what the Lord has for us and reflect to others and what the Lord is doing within our life and through our life. If we really want the light to work within our lives, we're going to have to surrender some things that are hindering your light from shining here this morning. The Bible, I don't have it, it's not going to be on your screen, but in verse 15 it says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, and say they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That they may see your good deeds. In other words, we just can't come to church. There needs to be an application to God's word. There needs to be feet work to God's word. Surrendering all is what the Lord wants, even if you don't have much here this morning. You can give just as much of that one that has a lot, because you're still surrendering all. So too many times we feel limited because we don't have finances. We don't have that great of an education. And Jesus said, surrender it all to me. I use some fishermen that are ordinary, uneducated. Those are the type of people I like to use so that they can give me all the glory and all the honor. When their light starts to shine, many will see and say, God had to do that. That ain't Susie's doing. That ain't Joe's doing. God had something to do with that. In John 3:30, real familiar scripture, the Bible says, he must become greater and I must become less. Another translation will say, he must increase and I must decrease. You see, the Lord is looking for men, women, and youth here this day that are willing to surrender, willing to decrease, to allow God's will, God's light that he has placed within our life to shine. What could possibly be hindering today your light from shining? You see, lights are really meant, just getting some thoughts right, lights are really meant to be used when it's dark. They're really used to their full capacity when it's dark. When you turn a light on, it makes a big difference. Right now, we could turn all the lights off, and we could get through the service right now. But if it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and we were to turn all these lights off, we couldn't have church. Amen? But the use of a light is to work in darkness. You see, we just had it backwards. We were working in darkness. We know how to work in darkness, but we were working for the enemy. And God is calling us the light of the world to make a difference in darkness. To make a difference in somebody's darkened world right now, where they'll rather have the lights off, their eyes closed, than have the light on, their eyes open, and deal with what they're dealing with. The Bible is calling us to decrease, for the Lord can increase in what he wants to do in your life. It's very hard, even though he's God Almighty, the light of the world, for him to work in and through your life when you continue to do the same things. He's looking for a man, a woman, and a youth member this morning to decrease, to surrender, so that he can take over. And that your purpose of being the light can shine. Not only in the good times, but the purpose of true light is to shine in darkened times. We're Victory Outreach. We know how to shine in darkened times, amen? We're treasures out of darkness. We know what darkness is about. But it's time that we need to learn what the light is about. What our purpose is about. And the good news here this morning is that God in the book of Matthew calls us the light of the world. He's telling us to remove those bulbs that are trying to stop the purpose of your light from shining throughout your house. For many will see and believe and put their trust in the Lord. See, you can make a greater impact in the power of Jesus when times are hard and dark. It's when you're able to shine the best. But a lot of people in those times put the bowl over their light and say, man, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to talk with that brother. I don't even want to talk to her. And we put that bowl. Do we got that picture? And we put that bowl in a lamp, a candle that was designed to give light, illumination, vision to that room, to that house. And this is what we do. When the power goes out, I remember back as a kid, the power would go out, we had candles, man. My grandpa and grandma, they had those old-fashioned lanterns that would spark up, amen? I never saw them once light the candles and then go around with bowls putting them on top of the candles because we needed light. See, Jesus speaking about the light back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have electricity like we had. When nighttime came, and you couldn't see. And that's why they had lamps, torches. Remember, I broke down the word, it means a torch. They would operate with torches. Right now, we have so much artificial light that we could take the light for granted. Right now, your house can be in shambles, being heavily attacked by the enemy, but the lights can still be on, the artificial lights, that is. Back in those days, light was precious. Even today, when the youth are, I remember we did one for the married couples where we went to Hollow Park, or what was that place? Hollow, Happy Hollow, whatever. That place right there, amen? And we made a bonfire, and we were with donuts, marshmallows, and wieners, and all this stuff. And even though we were in an apple grove, in the boonies, because the light, the fire was giving light, we felt safe, we even felt warm, and we were having great fellowship. Why? That fire was bringing warmth, and it was bringing light. Turn the fire off, and I don't think too many were tough enough to hang out in that and that apple orchard with the lights off. See, back in the days of Jesus, the light was precious. Light was precious. But today we take light for granted. Sometimes we take the light within us for granted. Sometimes we take our own very purpose for granted. I was reading a book that was saying that back in the days from space, when they would look to Earth, it would all be dark. But now from that same satellite pictures, there's light even at 2, 3 in the morning from all the artificial, ambient lights. Now, when they look from that satellite, there's light all over the world even at 3 a.m. in the morning. But back in the days, it was just dark from outer space when you would look at Earth. We've been called to be the light of the world. We've been called to shine in dark times. We've been called to stand out in dark times. Anybody can stand out when everything's going good and say, "I'll do it, Pastor." But can you say, "I'll do it, Pastor," when everything's going wrong in your life? Can you still be the light of the world? Too many times it's easier to do this. This don't make sense. Light the candle to have light to cover it. And a lot of times we do things in darkened times that simply just don't make sense. It's going to be good today. Sometimes we do some stuff when the hard times come that just don't make sense. She did what? He did not. He. What do you mean he did? No way, that's brother such and such. Sure did, Pastor. Come on, man, you're joking, right? No, man. The darkness has, hard times has a way of us messing up because we feel that nobody can see it. But the God we serve is the light of the world. We are light. We see it. All you got, we see what we do. You may be doing it in secrecy. You may be doing it in darkness. But we're the light of the world. We see what we do. We see what we do. We see what we think. We can even see what we think. We're the light of the world. It can be dark. And we're still called to be the light of the world. We're living in end times, and it's such a great time to shine right now. We learned from a couple of Sundays ago that light overpowers darkness. In the natural, if you turn the light on in your house at 10 o'clock at night, that room instantly, now with a 30, 40-watt light bulb, lights up the whole room. Amen? But spiritually also, in the spiritual realm, Jesus versus the enemy. The light of the world versus darkness. still wins. Darkness has been defeated. And that's why Jesus calls his sons and daughters the light of the world. And that's why our ministry is just not the light of Milwaukee, but the light of the world. That's why our ministry is all over the world. John 3:30 says that he must increase as we decrease. I put here, I squeaked in some notes before I came up here. It's like we're the light bulb, but God is still the source. He's still the electricity. He's calling us the light. Amen? It's like we're a light bulb, but we still need the source of Jesus within our lives. It's almost like the book of John says, we are the branches. We are what's supposed to produce fruit. We are a light bulb. We are to put it back on the light bulb. We are to produce light. We are the light of the world. Amen? That just ain't any light bulb. That has a cross in it. Amen? That's a Christian light bulb. A Christian light bulb should shine. We've been called to shine. If you let this get in your spirit, in your hard times, you say, man, this is a good time to shine. You could see your darkened times, hard times, somebody else's hard time for an opportunity to shine even the more. But you got to get it in your spirit. You got to see what the enemy's doing. He says, nope, I'm countering with the light. We're a light bulb, but Jesus is the source of the light bulb. Just as we're the branches that produce fruit, but to the branches that produce fruit cannot do so. That's why the Bible says that he is the true vine. Jesus is still the source. He's the source here this day. He's very important if we want our light bulb that's been called to shine and turn on and stay on even in hard times. He is our source. And without him being your source and being put first in your life, that light bulb will only be on. You will be on when everything's good, and your light will be off when you need it the most. Because that's the instinct and the response of the flesh, the natural way of thinking. Exodus 23. The Bible says, it's one of the commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. So here the Lord's looking for us to surrender all. He's looking for us to decrease. And he's looking for us to put all those little g gods to the side, to surrender them. He's looking for surrenderance, for he can operate, and for our light can shine. Jesus saying, I want to be put first. And I want to be your only God, big G God. I don't need help from those little G gods. You're all I need. I am your source this day. Without me, you cannot shine. How many want to get to the place of maturity where you're actually able to shine when everything is going wrong? Amen? That should be your desire. To get to a place where that things that used to trip you up and knock you out and confuse you, when they hit now, say, I'm going to counter with the light. I'm going to expose that. I'm the light of the world. I'm going to expose that area with God's word now. I'm going to put it under the bus instead of it putting me under the bus. I'm going to put it on Front Street instead of me being put out in Front Street, because I am the light of the world. I really believe when the source is Jesus, whatever it takes place, he gives you the spirit of God, always gives you that moment to do what's right. But if we don't spend time with God, you'll always have the first thought you get is the right one, then the next one, the next one, the next one is you. It's me. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The Bible reads, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Amen. He was to be born a king, Jesus. Amen. And Matthew 2:13, as we skip along a little bit to verse 13, the Bible reads, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother, the child being Jesus, King Jesus, amen, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Amen. Chapter 2, 1 through 5 says that Jesus was born the king of the Jews. Amen. And the king of that time, King Herod at that time, wasn't happy with this news. Why? Amen. Why did he want to kill baby King Jesus? Amen. Because he knew there could only be one king on the throne. Jesus was a threat to the king of that time. He knew there could only be one king on the throne, and too many times we want to remain in control. Too many times, especially in the darkened times, we want to say, no, I got this one. No, no, give me that. I got this one. Too many times we want to stay in control. And if we're going to reflect the true image of God from our lives, we must shift over focus from us to Him. We must surrender all. We must decrease, amen? We must put all little gods to the side. If we really, truly want to reflect the light of God, not only in our lives, but through our lives, if we want to fulfill our purpose upon this earth, as light of the world, we are more than just mirrors that reflect. Mirrors that just reflect. We're just not a reflection here this day. How many know that mirrors reflect images? If you have a mirror, you can also reflect light with a mirror. I mean, if you're good at it, you can burn people with it, amen? Mirrors, if the sun hits it right, you can set a beam of light. And in prison, we'll do it out the bars, and we'll know everything going on in prison without even being able to see. But we had our hands extended past the bars, and we would have a mirror. Mirrors are not only able to reflect images, but if that light was here and I was to hit this light, I could create another light on that wall by the reflection off the mirror of that light. You see, God is that light. And He wants us to be that reflection of the light. Scripture says that God is light, and in Him was darkness was none. Amen. There was no darkness in God. But even though we're called the light of the world, at times there's darkness in us because we fall short. Too many times we want to remain in control. We just can't reflect the light of God, amen? But we must also, I put here, be able to absorb the light, His presence, His teachings, His word. We need to also be able to absorb. Instead of just reflect, too many times we can simply be reflecting Jesus by learning His word, tradition, religion. We can say all the right words, and we can be reflecting who Jesus wants us to be from the outside appearance. I put here, your reflection on a mirror is simply what you look like on the outside. I touched on James a while back ago, about a year ago, give or take. Your reflection on a mirror is simply what you look like on the outside, not what you look like on the inside. Too many times we give people that we're working with simply by making it look good on the outside. But the truth is, there's no source of the light of God absorbing and taking place within our life. We know how to play the role of, hey, God bless you, Pastor. Love you. Love you too. I love you more. No, I love you more. No, I love you more. Forever and ever. I'll never leave you, Pastor. Your reflection on a mirror is simply what you look like on the outside, not what you look like on the inside. Let's go to the inside. James 1, 23 to 25. James chapter 1, 23, real familiar scripture, real powerful reading here. James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. The word of the Lord says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. One way not to forget is by doing it. Not forgetting what he has heard, but by doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I put here, we got to go beyond hearing the word of God on a Sunday morning. I love asking people after the service that you end up with, I say, hey, give me the message. What was the message about today? Well, Pastor, okay, you want the message? This Sunday's? Which message? This Sunday's. The one that finished about an hour ago. Oh, today you mean? I said, yeah, today, this message, today. Okay, all right. Give me one second, Pastor. I got it all in my heart. I just don't know where to start. Give me 1 second. Okay, now remember. Okay, give me one minute, Pastor. I want to make sure I say it all right when I say it. Because sometimes I say things a little wrong. I want to make sure I have it all in order. And they cannot remember not even the topic that you are the light of the world. That's why hands-on, I'll take a hands-on person any day. Or someone that knows a lot. If you don't want to forget this morning's message, put it into practice. Buy the tape, hear it again, and say, this is important. This matter deals with me being the light of the world. This deals with my breakthrough, my purpose, and for my family. I need to put this one into action. But too many times we just hear the word, and we don't do the word, and so by doing it that way, we forget. Not what Pastor Charlie has said, but what God has said. And sometimes some of you just in here, dressed up, perfumed up, got the best perfume and the best cologne that the mall has to offer, up to date. He's smelling good. You're looking good. You're reflecting Jesus is doing something on the inside. But you can't retain none of his word. But you remembered all the instructions of your boss on Friday to what you're supposed to do when you get back to work on Monday. You retain. It's called selective hearing. Why would you not want to hear the word of God and apply it? Because this is going to call you to surrender. Nobody wants to surrender, even if you're going through it. You don't want to surrender. You would rather do it your way than do it God's way. God's way is calling for us to surrender, to be able to produce that light that he's called us to be. We got to go beyond hearing the word of God I put here this Sunday morning. You got to try something new, like doing it. When we hear and do God's word, it's hard to forget who you are in Jesus. When you take the light of Jesus in your life, his word, I kind of touched on this about a year ago, then his word becomes, when you absorb Jesus, when you absorb his presence, when you're in worship and you're allowing it to get into your life, into your situation, into your heart, into renewing your mind, when you absorb Jesus, when you intently absorb Jesus, when you intently spend time with Jesus in the morning, whether you're tired or not tired, and you absorb Jesus, the light of the world that has no darkness in him, he's then able to start doing an inner work within your life. Tell your neighbor, you need inner work, not outer work. Tell your neighbor, the outer work can wait. Then his word, when you absorb his word and you continue in his word, then his word becomes a mirror within you, within your life, that allows you to truly see what you look like on the inside. Not on the outside, but what you truly look like on the inside totally outweighs what you look like on the outside. You see, what you look like on the outside, people will see. But what you look like on the inside, only God can see. So it's up to you who you're more concerned what you look like on the outside than you're worried about what people think about you. Whether you're on the hefty side, skinny side, middle, this, long hair, curly hair, blonde hair, black, blue, or yellow. We get all caught up in that. When God says, I'm concerned what you look like on the inside. And if you absorb my word and you take my word in, my daily word, Lord, give us this day our daily word. Every day, if you take God's word in and you absorb it and it comes within you, he will start showing you like a mirror what you look like on the inside, not only what's wrong, amen, but it'll also show you what's good in your life. There's a lot of good in your life right now. The good in your life outweighs the bad in your life because we are the light of the world. You see, the truth is that you got the victory this day. But if we stay on the outer, just a reflection, amen, it's real easy to be deceived by the enemy and by friends because they're going by what we look like. Who do we want to please here this morning? If pleasing your friends has helped you, continue to please your friends. But if pleasing your friends has not helped you, you better find a way to absorb God's word to be able to please God. How are we going to please God? By faith, by taking him at his word. But too many don't want to absorb the word of the Lord. You got 2 minutes. You ain't going to absorb nothing in 2 minutes. You can throw a sponge in a bucket of water, and if you pull it out in a second, it will not do what a sponge is called to do, and that's to soak up the water. See, we're sponges. But it takes time, and too many don't want to find out what they look like on the inside. They already know it's not good. Why do I need a mirror to see what I look like? I already know it's not good. But God's saying this mirror, my word within you will let you beautify yourself like the natural physical mirror does to your hair and your makeup and eyelashes out to here. Who in the heck ever invented eyelashes out to here makes a woman look more attractive, man? Out to here, eyelashes, man. Bam, 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 bam. Hey, sister, wait. It's like eyelashes are out to here, man. Just like, and you talk to the sister, you got all the, oh, Susie, how you doing, Susie? Where'd she go? Where did she go? Eyelashes out to here. What the heck? Just big old eyelashes, man. It's all caught up what you look like on the outside. You got to go buy some. First there was hair extensions, now eyelash extensions. What else are they going to extend? We let that one go, amen? My God. Tell your neighbor, my God. The extent that we're willing to go to look good. Ay, Dios mío, hay mucho trabajo que hacer. Everybody wants that physical mirror, but nobody wants the spiritual mirror that tells the truth, that is able to set you free, though, because it calls you to surrender. It calls you to start changing what you're doing. We need to start, man. I haven't been radical lately. I haven't walked around the church lately. Which one of you has been listening to these good teachings, good preachings, and still cussing and smoking and doping, chasing girls around, chasing guys around, still bar hopping, still scoring at the Connect Jose, still got him going on, still got him flipping through the channels all day long? Which ones are still looking at pornography? Which ones are still on Facebook all day long? What? God calls us the light of the world, not the darkness of the world. And we want to hide behind these big old eyelashes. We want longer hair. We want shorter hair. We want curly hair. We want straight hair. I've seen women, they iron their hair with a true iron. They iron shirts. They're ironing their hair. And the whole house is smelling like burnt hair. Do you know what burnt hair smells like? Oh, my God. Your hair's on fire. Your sister, yeah, but it's straight. Well, no, it's starting to crinkle up. It's on fire. Huele la casa puro pelo quemado. Have you ever thought that God's giving you maybe curly hair? And then the ones with the straight hair got these big curling machines. They got all kinds of them because there's about 5 of them in my bathroom right now. They got stuff that does miracles now. Look, you just got to do it like this and it does it by itself. Big curls, little curls, tight curls. We're losing our marriage, we're losing our children, and we're still in front of the mirror. You know, still in front of the mirror, taking hours to put big old eyelashes on. Instead of spending time with God, and the mirror, I poniendo eyelashes, come on. You want to put the big eyelashes on? Put them on, but get up another 2 hours earlier for that. Make time for them eyelashes because you can't afford to miss time and spending time with Jesus because he's the source of your life, whether it's going to work or not work. I'm so happy I'm a simple dresser, man. Oh, my Jesus, man. A neighbor just walked by. He ran the whole show at a hotel we did downtown Milwaukee. He was walking his dog. Me and Chava were outside. Hey, there he goes. Ooh, ooh, look at him. Ooh, nice suit, bastard. Because he always sees me in tore up shorts, tore up shirt, and some tore up tennis all over the place. He'd never seen me in a suit. Ooh, he was just looking at my suit. I looked different. I said, yeah, that's just on Sunday. I got to do this. I do this for the people. But he tripped out because he'd never seen me in a suit. Too many times we get caught up what's going on the inside, and God's wanting to work on the inside. Because the inside is who you truly are. It's on the inside. And the only one that can make a difference on the inside is Jesus. You can make a difference on the outside by going buying a certain product, a certain perfume, a certain makeup. I'm staying away from the guys because I'll say the wrong thing if I start talking about the guys. We control the outside, but only Jesus can control the inside if you want change within your life. Plants, I got here, just like plants. Amen. Before a plant can reflect and give off oxygen, it first got to absorb the light of the sun. Before a plant can give oxygen, amen, into the atmosphere, it first needs to absorb the light of the sun, which is a nutrient. I put it, the oxygen, which is a nutrient for other life forms, even including us. The air we breathe is real important that plant life is correct, because plants give oxygen into the world. Plants have been called to bring oxygen. We've been called to bring light. But too many trying to give light when they have not absorbed Jesus within their lives. You need to absorb Jesus to have enough Jesus to get you through the day, to have enough light to get you through the night. You need to be able to be absorbed in Jesus. Just as some of us reflect too much light without absorbing the correct amount. Reflecting too much is like coming to church, going to the rally, saying the right thing, staying busy. You're reflecting, you're helping, you're all over the place, Johnny on the spot. But there's no absorbing taking place in your life. You're just reflecting. But you're not spending time with God. There's no substance. There's no power. In order for you to give light, and even in darkened times, we're just reflecting all the time, but we're never spending time with Jesus. We're never absorbing. And this is the flip side of that. Others can also absorb too much light and not reflect enough. That represents always studying, reading books from the greatest experts in Christ. Always praying, always absorbing, but never reflecting to those that are lost and bound. Oh my God, I don't know which one's worse. We can't just continue to absorb and saturate ourselves in Jesus if we're not going to reflect. That's being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. If you want to reflect what you have absorbed, which is Jesus, you're going to have to be a doer of the word. But everybody's always looking for some peace and quiet and rest. Can a brother get some rest? We've been going to rallies. We've been to 15 spots in 5 days. I've been running hard. But I get off on it. The sweat starts getting in my eyes. And it's just a little more. Then I start checking all the speakers. That's it, man. Once I start sweating and that sweat's in my eyes, it's just like the lights are on. Others are complaining about the humidity. Every day we've gone, it's been hotter than hot. Everybody's sweating. I'm like, let's take off running. It's like sweat does something to me. I'm from Texas. When you hear another one with fans, the eyelashes, fans, eyelashes, it's hot out here. It's so humid. It's so humid. And I feel like saying, you weren't worried about it when it was humid, when you were smoking dope. There was a time where you weren't looking and putting on extended eyelashes when you were smoking dope. always absorbing but never reflecting to those that are lost and bound. Luke 12 in closing. Does everybody feel encouraged right now? Women? Those are the ones with no extension eyelashes said amen. All the other ones said, I'm mad at him. Some of you went, you pulled them off. You act like you're messing with your person. Let's quitar this. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. And it goes on to say, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Now, I don't know about you, amen, but God has done a lot for my life. He's done a lot for my life. And I'd be darned if I'm going to let some lying devil prevent my light to shine. So much he's done in my life that my whole life has been surrendered to him because he's done so much. So much is required from my life. So I don't mind going to the rallies. I don't mind taking off. And it's not even a Victory Outreach rally. It's a team effort. It's all these churches coming together. And then they don't do it like the way we do it. They don't get down. I'm like, man, I felt like jumping in 1,000 times. But no, I can't do it. I'm not running this one. But if I was running it, at this time I'd be doing this. And man, two or three of the first days I was going through turmoil. That's why I don't mind going all out, surrendering all. Because, man, I don't forget what God has done for me. He didn't call me out of darkness. He didn't call me out of the prison system, off drugs. He called me out of death, over and over, death. I know he pulled me out of darkness to shine, not to sit in a church. I know with every speck in me that I did not just get pulled out of darkness to remain in darkness in a church. I know if he saved me, he had a purpose. He had a purpose that he could fulfill also. The good work that he has started in my life, that his word says that he's going to finish it. There's a good work that he has started in all of y'all's lives. Do you want to be known as a man of God, a woman of God, a youth of God that shines in hard times or that shuts down in hard times? What do you want to be known as? The light of the world? Or the light of the world only when everything's going the right way? Because anybody can be that light bulb. But not everybody can be the light bulb that shines when everything is going wrong. As the worship team makes their way, please. I want us to get focused that we're the light of the world. I want us to be focused here this day that we're the light of the world and our purpose is to shine unto those that are lost and bound. Our purpose is to shine. We're not called just to go to work and come back and get a paycheck and pay the bills. We're the light, and our purpose, the purpose of a light, is to shine, to give visibility, to bring vision to those that don't have any. And sometimes it will call for you to surrender all. Janessa, get you know who and you know who. Thank you. There's some things that we got to surrender to allow our light to get brighter, and brighter and brighter. I don't know, some of you might be 60-watt light bulbs. I don't know, 100-watt light bulbs, 250. These on me right now that feel like the sun, those are 500-watt light bulbs. All four of them, 2,000 watts of light right there. Do you really want to come to church and have no purpose? Do you really want to come to church and leave still not wanting to help nobody? We're the light of the world, and the light, when it comes on, is to give light to everyone in the house, the Bible tells us. Not just for us, but for everyone. And I believe at the altar call here this day, the Lord can turn the lights on. Sometimes we say, man, the lights just came on. Se me prendó el foco, we say. Where all of a sudden you get the answer. See, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to give you the answer for you to be the answer to others. And as the opening point said, He's not looking for those that have all, but He's looking for those that are willing to surrender all. Is that you this day? Is there something that you feel you should be grateful for and you know it came through Jesus? And everything may not be perfect in your life right now, and that's okay. The Bible says we're living in end times. But the counter to that says that we are the light of the world. The times can get hard and we can still have the victory. I said a few preachings ago, sometimes you ain't going to feel it. You just got to know it. That you are the light of the world. And you've been called to shine. So much even more in dark times. As we stand this day, I want to let you know that you have the victory. And the time is now to shine.